Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version. You can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps. With us tonight is M1 Chancellor, Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Greetings.
Also joining us is Project Red aficionado, Roy Slipinski. Hey, Roy.
Project Red?
Yeah, you like Project Red stuff.
You love the Product Red stuff, so.
Product Red.
Product.
See, there we go. There we go.
That makes a little bit more sense. I'm like, Project Red.
I know what you meant, though, by Project Red.
Thank you. I don't know where I got. I think I got that from CD Projekt Red, the video game company. That is
well. That
now.
Was my first. That was my first thing. Like The Witcher was a good game.
Anyways, we also have with us host of Cooking with Tim, Chef Tim Van Claveren. Hey Tim,
and go to Chef Tim. Go to Chef Tim VK on Twitter right now and vote for Morning Brew with Chef Tim.
Go vote.
Live update. We are 6 votes in for yes, yes, yes.
Oh.
36 people. There's 5 of us.
Good job, follower.
Who is this one person?
I have a guess. Yeah.
She doesn't have a Twitter, I don't
think. Who? You should have Zoe go. We should have told Zoe when she was on here earlier. Somebody should text Zoe to go vote for it.
And I didn't retweet this, which I'm going to do right after I say thank you to Joseph Meacham for directing the show tonight.
Hello, I'm here.
He's here.
Hey, what was up with that? What's up, gamers?
Like, what's up, gamers? Gamers? Is that my catchphrase now?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's it going, gamers? Happy to be here with 4 of my friends. I hope everyone's doing well.
Thank you. That's much better.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm glad you all like that. I thought the bit was getting dry, but now I know the bit is still fresh as ever.
It is not.
Keep it going.
It's a staple of my Monday, honestly. Joseph, you mentioned that you hope we're all doing well, and most of us are doing well, but as I'm sure everyone here knows, T-Mobile is not doing very well. And neither are the nearly 50 million customers that have been impacted by their most recent data breach.
And I am one of them.
I got the text. Yeah, did you get a text?
How does it read? No. Can you read it to us?
Yeah.
I'm very curious about the verbiage.
With all your personal details, please.
Social security included, please.
Hold on. I got to find it.
We want to compare it to the hack.
It says, T-Mobile has determined that unauthorized access came with some of your personal data has occurred. We have no evidence that debit/credit card information was compromised. We take protection of our customers seriously. We are taking acts to protect your account, your T-Mobile account, and we recommend that you take action to protect your credit. And then there's a link to t-mo.co/protect with a capital P. And that basically takes it to like a landing page that tells you what happened. And then you can click on what you can do. And they're giving away Protect Your Identity McAfee 2 years provided free by T-Mobile. And then you can claim it. And then they also advertise their activate their Scam Shield app too, that gives you like caller ID, scam ID, and that's free to all customers now.
Quick question.
Well, it was free before, but
do they use the term giving away when they talk about the credit shielding or whatever?
No, it just says protect your identity with McAfee. Sign up for McAfee ID theft protection service free for 2 years provided by T-Mobile, and then it says claim now.
Okay. That's yeah. really good phrasing from them.
Yeah. No, it is. I'm sure their legal department went over it with a fine costume. They have already their two class action lawsuits have already been filed.
On behalf of customers.
I'll just say I wasn't surprised. I mean, I've been with T-Mobile for so long, so I wasn't surprised that I was affected by it.
And as a side note, I was affected. I looked through my texts, and I guess I ignored it when I got it, but I got the same text as you.
Yeah. So, I guess...
I didn't get it.
Yeah. Not yet, at least. Don't worry.
I haven't gotten it.
Still get it.
You know how these things have aftershocks like a month after, and they're like, well, it looks like 140 million more accounts were compromised than we thought.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure their investigation is going on. I was kind of surprised that they were giving away McAfee. I don't know.
That's, but, how come you were surprised?
I don't know. I don't know.
I just,
no reason, I guess.
I don't know. I feel like anytime they offer some kind of identity theft protection, it's just like, I wonder if T-Mobile has like stake in McAfee for some reason.
Well, because... and I think they do, because I think they sold that. I'm wondering that too, because I think they sold that as part of, I think they sold like McAfee apps that you could download from the Android store mm-hmm. and stuff like that for spam and stuff like that. So I want to say that they did have some. I don't know if there's any apps on my iPhone that is there, but I do want to say that there was something with McAfee by T-Mobile.
And that wouldn't surprise me, because like I wouldn't put it past these companies taking advantage of a data breach. Like, yes, they are going to have some class action lawsuits. People are going to be upset. Maybe their stock price will go down. But if they can give people free McAfee, the more these data breaches happen, the more they offer these free introductory identity protection services, super possible that, you know, some people are like, well, I really liked that. I guess it protected me. I'm going to keep paying like $20 a month or however much it is for whatever the subscription is.
So it's called McAfee Security for T-Mobile. And there's an app on the iPhone. It's got both the McAfee logo and T-Mobile. So, I mean, they definitely took advantage of their partnership. I think this is more for, it's hard to say, more for like protecting your photos and stuff like that. And I think you could download something on your phone for it and your thing. It's interesting. Out of 16,314 ratings, it's got a 4.7 review.
That's pretty good.
Out of 5 stars. It does. It actually does. And
this is the McAfee app?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chances are none of those people have tried to uninstall it yet.
Yeah. It was published 4 years ago, though.
And 25% of them are bots.
Yeah. And about 1 year ago, it got a fresh new design. So, yeah, there's probably a lot of people who are paying for that. You know, don't even
especially know if you have to, like, sign up with a credit card or something like that. Which I don't
it
know.
Probably
if
just gets attached to your bill. That's usually how they do it. Then you don't see it every time, because not a lot of people look at their bill, their phone bill. So, yeah, so that just kind of, like, I feel like they should offer something that they're not partnered with. Because I feel like, oh, they got hacked, so they picked up the phone and called their buddies over at McAfee and said, hey, we just got data hacked. Price for, you know, 1.5 million customers, 2 years of protection, and they got a deal.
Right, so. Like, it's like, hey, company whose job it is to protect data and make sure people don't get hacked, why don't you do that instead of doing it the whole, like, we have a partnership with you, maybe they should be working a little bit more closely together to prevent this from happening in the first place.
I think I remember watching on the news one time a Consumer Report and something like that. And I think that if you were a victim of data breach or something like that, I think there is a way that you can go out and get service. And I think that T-Mobile has to pay for it, or whoever data breacher. I want to say that that's possible by law or something like that, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you should definitely look at it. I haven't seen the McAfee one just because I haven't. I just got back from vacation, and I haven't. I got that text message while I was on vacation, and I wasn't gonna. At that point, I monitor my credit very, very normally though. So, you know, like I get push notifications when my credit report is pulled and stuff like that, through a variety of services. So I don't know that this is affect me because I always keep a lot of my credit, you know, secured and everything and stuff like that. So, I get an email, a push notification. Text message anytime my credit is pulled, like literally go to apply for a loan or something. My phone just goes through the roof with alerts. So I'm pretty well protected on that part. So I'm not worried about it. Yeah. But there's some people out there. I mean, you should definitely, I mean, even if you didn't get the text message, you should monitor your credit. It's a very important thing to do because again, if you don't know about that, like a lot of places, like that can take years to fix up your credit, you know, if you do. I mean, it's not just say, hey, you know, there's some people out there that fight for years to get their credit back. Mm-hmm. I've read stories and listened to podcasts about people have had their identity stolen.
Yeah. One sec, Matt. Is it just me or... is Matt cutting out?
Matt's cutting out.
Your voice right, gate cool. is a little too high.
Ooh. Is that better now?
Too early to say.
Yeah. So sorry. Sorry for...
No what worries. Saying. So I was just saying that you should always monitor your credit report and your credit score and stuff like that to make sure that nobody's taking advantage of opening accounts and stuff like that. Because people can get out there and literally get a new driver's license. No?
Still no, cutting, still out. Cutting out.
Hold on.
It wouldn't somebody be else a Google talk. Cast if we didn't have Summit.
Angle your mic a little bit closer towards your...
How's that? Is that better?
Make it like horizontal with your PC monitor.
Say Android reigns supreme just a bunch until we figure out...
Say it five times.
Android reigns supreme. Is that better?
Oh, the best part is it cut out right when he said supreme the first time.
No, I think he just stopped talking.
It was like Tim Cook is like, no, we can't do this.
I know. How's that? Is that better? I made some adjustments on my computer side of things. Is that
so far not cutting out?
Okay.
You're a little quiet, but you're not cutting out anymore.
I can turn up my gain a little bit. How's that? Is that better?
Sounds good so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. So yeah, that's all I was saying, but yeah.
In that vein, then I have a question for you guys. How or what do you use to monitor your credit or at least stay aware of it?
I use Credit Karma. It's free. I mean, I know they probably sell your information somehow. In order
Credit
to use
Karma,
it.
I think, is owned by Intuit, which is... No, that might not. Let me double check that. Sorry, keep going.
But yeah, I use Credit Karma, and then I also have another service that I don't know what it's called. I'm sorry. But I do have another service that monitors my credit as well. And I can't... I want to say it's... I'm maybe through H&R Block or something. I got it years ago and I got like a, I don't know, it was like a lifetime subscription or something. Hmm. And so I don't know who it's through, but I get a push notification or a text message every time my data is pulled. Anytime there's a data involving my information out there on the, send everything out to it.
I heard like data like three times, and that's all I heard.
What the hell?
What is the what's the setting on the back of your blue Yeti look like?
Matt's vocal transmissions are being breached right now.
Is that better? Is that worse?
Worse.
No, you're turning the gain. I want to know what the like picture looks like. There should be pictures back there. Mm.
There's two little.
Yeah.
Literally none of that came through, so that's not the great. That's not the right one.
Okay. Does it look like two Yeti?
Just like. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, turn your gain down better? Though, because you're peaking.
Okay, is that better?
For now, yes.
Okay, I don't know what it is. I have not changed any since we did this podcast.
Now you cut again. Okay, do you have? You make it. Do you have the one that looks like a butt?
Yeah, that's the one that I was on.
Yeah. Okay. So turn it to that one, and then turn your mic around. The mic picks up from the front. Right above the light when it's on that setting, and that's the best setting on a blue Yeti.
You want the blue logo facing your face as you talk.
Yes.
You have to be advertised too.
Is that better?
No, you don't want to talk into the top. You want to talk into the front right above the light.
Right above the light?
Yes.
Yeah, you want to twist the microphone.
Hey, you want the logo towards you.
Towards you. Yeah. Okay.
This is great. We're doing mic tutorials here.
It's great.
There we go. Is that better?
Yeah. Now turn the gain down.
Okay.
The gain should be at like 25% up.
There's no real markings on it, but is that better? I turned it down a little bit.
Yeah. Now tilt it back a little bit.
Like the gain?
Oh, no. The mic. It sounded really great for a second.
Like that?
That Yay. Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, fingers crossed.
I was ready to shoot off a text to Comcast complaining.
Yeah, well, tell them about your thing. They were probably trying to hack our podcast this morning when they called, or this evening when they called you.
Oh, okay. So I've been looking into data breaches just to kind of familiarize myself with the avalanche that happened during 2020 and 2021. And I get this call while we're prepping for the show, and it's this random guy who claims to be from Comcast. It's kind of hard to understand him. So I was like, my mind was like, this is suspicious. It's just a random guy calling from Comcast on a number that isn't Comcast, which I have Comcast saved into my phone. And I don't know if I trust this, but I'm moving, and the guy knew that I was moving and knew that I transferred my service over to my new apartment for when I move. So I was like, okay, this is all clear. But I was immediately like worried that my phone was being tapped into, or that, I don't know, this guy was trying to like fish information from me. It was super suspicious.
If it makes you feel better, Matt. One time I moved and I had Comcast, and the apartment that I was living, that I was moving to, like they had some weird exclusive deal with Comcast, but it was a like independent contractor that managed the installs for Comcast. And that's who like did it for me. And I want to say that at some point during the point that I had told Comcast that I was moving and the point that he installed, he did call me from his cell phone, but like Comcast had told me that I was going to receive a call from the installer. I'm not saying that's what's happening in your case, but if it somewhat puts your mind at ease, like I had a similar experience as that.
It does a little bit, because I know that some places have weird contractual agreements with Xfinity or Comcast or whatever, where it still goes to that location, but it's the only type of internet that can be there, and then they have some like special deals with people to service it. So that does make me feel a little bit better, actually. But yeah, so in talking about data breaches, there was a lot last year, and like T-Mobile, Joe, could you pull up the article that I had for T-Mobile? Because I want to read just the first little part of this, just so that we can get everybody on the same page. So this is from IdentityForce.com. They wrote an article about kind of what happened with T-Mobile. It says, on August 16th, 2021, T-Mobile confirmed unauthorized access to its data in a breach that has affected over 50 million customers. On August 17th, T-Mobile broke down that number, stating that the breach affects as many as 7.8 million postpaid customers. That's Matt and I. 850,000 prepaid customers, which are... I didn't know that T-Mobile still did prepaid. I wonder if that includes things like Sprint and Boost Mobile and whatever their other ones are.
Oh, interesting.
What is it? Metro PCS, I think, is owned by T-Mobile.
So I think that's a Verizon one.
Yeah, but no, Metro PCS is from T-Mobile, but they, I think they said that they were not affected by the breach.
Well, that's good, because I like Metro. It was weird that they were bought by T-Mobile, because they were doing great by themselves, but that's just my opinion.
Go ahead.
And then it goes on to say that just over 40 million former or prospective customers who had previously applied for credit with the company were also affected. So if you have even attempted or were thinking about making an account with T-Mobile and put some information in and were like, nah, this ain't for me, even you could be affected by this data breach.
Yeah. Did any of you guys see the news about AT&T supposedly being hacked?
Oh, no. No.
So there's a notorious hacker game out there on the dark web right now that is claiming to be selling 70 million AT&T subscribers' personal information. AT&T has come out and said they were not breached. They were not breached, and that the data is not coming from them. So it's, you know, kind of different from what T-Mobile is, because T-Mobile has accepted the claim and confirmed during their investigation that they were hacked. But this is kind of different, you know, that they claim they have social security numbers, date of birth, and home addresses for 70 million subscribers, and AT&T coming out saying, nope, we weren't data breached. It wasn't from us.
I certainly hope that that's the truth, because if they claim that they were secure, essentially, or that this person is lying, and then it comes out that they were hacked, they're going to get destroyed.
Yeah. So in it, the telecom, in this article from Gizmo, the telecom denies that the data is legitimate. And when they were reached out for comment, it says, based on our investigation today, the information that appeared on the internet chat room does not appear to come from our systems. So it's, yeah, interesting to see. And I guess we'll see, you know, days to come if they reverse course there or continue to say that the data didn't come from theirs. But they have been very, very clear on their denial. So it sounds like maybe that the data might have come from somewhere else.
Yeah, because 70 million affected customers are... That data, like you said, had to come from somewhere. And if it's not AT&T, maybe it's not like a recent hack. Maybe it was like a past hack. But yeah, where did it come from?
Yeah. Has anybody ever been on the dark web?
No.
Don't go on the dark web. Don't go on the dark web. When I worked in loss prevention, there was a class that I went through. I went through a few of them. One was from the Secret Service about counterfeiting, and the other one was about, you know, information being sold on the dark web and stuff like that. And it's very interesting. Like, I mean, I saw some investigators that were, you know, working on child pornography cases that's out there on the dark web and stuff like that. I mean, it's legitimately a scary looking place. Mm-hmm. And
it's like the modern Wild West. Is how I thought about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's like, you know, it's just, it's, yeah. I never, like, some of the stuff that I saw on there, and, like, I mean, we were told that we might see some crazy stuff, and we did, and I was like, nope, not for me.
Because Google and, like, Bing and all of the, like, modern search engines, the big ones, the big tech company ones, and all the social media platforms that are big, they filter all of that kind of stuff out, right? And, like, access to it, for the most part. Like, it's really hard if you're just browsing the modern internet to access things that are on the dark web.
Yeah, you have to take legitimate steps, and I don't really know the complete steps on how to do it. I just know that this investigator had a special laptop that he used to access it that wasn't connected to any, like, government systems or anything like that. It was legit. Like, you know, he had different names for it and everything and stuff like that. It was what they call, I think, a clean device or something like that. So, and he had, you know, he had separate phone numbers that he used to talk to these people on, you know, that can't be traced back to him and stuff like that, you know? And I think he worked a lot with, like, child predator cases and stuff like that on there, but, and pornography, but definitely not a place.
How did we get so dark? How did we end up here?
Well because breaches, we were talking about, man, data breaches. So
that's where the stuff goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't recommend anybody going there, but I mean, it's hard to tell, I think, too, on the dark web, what is real and what is legit, because I think there's a lot of people out there who may claim to have information that don't really have the information, you know, and, you know, might be trying to take advantage of that, you know.
Get your name out there as some cool, awesome hacker Chan who can do awesome things, and it gets you infamous in a certain way.
Yeah. So, definitely don't recommend going out there, but we'll see what happens with the AT&T breach. If, you know, that changes course, but as of right now, AT&T is saying their data is safe and, you got nothing to worry about. So, I'll ask a question here. So, what does everybody use for password security?
I use LastPass.
And Tim uses one pass or LastPass, right? Use
password 123.
Last name 123 ? There's my password.
Matt, do you use a password manager?
Google is my password manager. If I can,
they're known for selling information.
What?
Yeah, they're known for selling it. Joe, do you use a password manager?
Yeah, I have a subscription with Nord.
Okay, so I also use 1Password with Roy, and one of the things that I like about 1Password is it tells me if my password has been compromised in a data breach. So I can go into it, and I can go right up to my account, and I can filter out passwords that have been, it's called Watchtower, I think, and it says that, like, I have 42 reused passwords. A lot of them are services that I don't. I have 59 weak passwords. I have a bunch of them, but right there it'll tell me if I have passwords that are affected by a data breach, and then I can go in there and change it. And then it also, you know, it tells me I have 41 services that offer two-factor authentication. I have 1Password that's expiring. Like, very good information though on your password. Just what I say is your information is stored on the internet, and your password is the only thing that is keeping people. You know, if your password gets leaked in a data breach, which, you know, can happen, you know, then they can get access to it. And if you use the same password, like I had this email coming from this. It kept going to my spam box, but this guy claiming to have my password to my Gmail account, and that he forced sent out, you know, like, nasty pictures or whatever to all my contacts and stuff like that. And the password was very similar, but it wasn't quite the password. But it looked very similar to it. And so, like, you know, it's just, like, it's important to have unique passwords for everything that you do. Don't use the same password for your banking that you do for your social media accounts. I have a single password for every one of mine. And then 1Password automatically fills in after it authenticates me that I am the person. So I just type in a password, And then it opens my password vault. And then also my two-factor authentications are in there as well, too. Yep. So like when I sign into Facebook, I sign into Twitter, it's filtered into that and, you know, takes in that. So there's a lot of things that you can take to protect your identity, especially with passwords, because passwords can be cracked and they're kind of weak, you know, and account takeovers are usually pretty popular. So, yeah.
Kind of a silly thing for me. I never took passwords like all that seriously, you know. You still take them like moderately seriously, like you change them every year or so. But when I started playing in old school RuneScape Ultimate Iron Man, and I really didn't want anybody to get into my account because that game is known for having people hacking others, I started treating it very seriously, and since then all my passwords are like nutty. They're just very wild and very weird because I don't want any tracing.
Like I have most of my passwords set up for 26 characters with numbers, letters, symbols, crazy number things.
Yeah, I feel
nothing
that.
That I would ever remember. And you know, I mean, it's just like you want to protect your identity, and that's the same thing, you know. So I totally understand that, Joe.
That feel when RuneScape account is more important than identity. Kind of cringe.
All the things. All the things that can make you take security seriously.
And when you sign up for something too, like with 1Password, and I'm not trying to sell anybody a 1Password, but when you try to sign up for 1Password and you're typing in a new login information, it'll suggest a password based on what your default credentials are, or your default settings are. So mine's like 26 characters and stuff like that. And then it'll automatically save it to your vault too. And I have a special vault that like I can't, like if I were to go out of the country or something like that, that you couldn't access that vault on a mobile device. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to be on a physical device.
Oh, and
that interesting. that has like a lot of my banking information and stuff like that. So I can secure that vault from traveling, you know, so that they couldn't get in there too. And then another security feature that I use too, like I've wiped my phone one too many times because I've felt like I lost my phone because I couldn't find it. And so I've gone on to apple.com and wiped my device because I don't want anybody getting a hold of my 1Password. So, I mean, it'd be pretty hard to crack my 1Password too, I think. But yeah. So anyways, I'm a big supporter of password managers. Whatever you use, 1Password is my choice. And I feel like they have great services to protect your information from being compromised. So I would say, because Matt, you said you use Google. I don't think Google monitors the dark web, stuff like that. So I would definitely look into password does, because I still use Google for some ways, like Google saves some of my passwords. Mm-hmm. But it's nothing like super important. And those type of passwords stay in my 1Password. And when I log into it on Google or Android, it authenticates with my password or my face identification through Face Unlock. So, yeah. And Tim, does 1Password do anything like, or LastPass do anything like?
I don't think they do anything with monitoring on the dark web. That's a pretty cool feature, but they do suggest passwords to create or pretty much everything else you mentioned they do, just not the dark web.
Yeah, and I don't know for sure if they're monitoring the dark web. I know they're monitoring data breaches. Oh, I don't know if they actually monitor the dark web. I should say that. But I do know that they tell you if you're compromised, so they have access to some type of database.
So Google does that too. Like if you go into their password manager, they'll give you a list of all the passwords that they have that you've input into their system. And on each password, if it has been exposed or compromised, it'll give a little tag in text underwise that says like found in data breach. And then it'll give you a clickable button right next to that password to go to the website that you registered at and change your password. So it kind of lowers.
Oh, so it does.
And actually there's a way to like force it to check in real time. Like right now I could click a button and it could check all of these passwords to see if there's been any updated information, to see if any have been breached.
Nice.
It doesn't sound as like flexible as 1Pass, or is it 1Password? Because it sounds like that's
1Password.
That,
yeah.
Does that go into apps, not just like a web browser, but like other apps that you have with passwords and stuff?
I mean, you can do the same thing. You can tap on, it and hit login.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either set it up to use the 1Password web browser, or you can do like your default password or your default browser, and it'll do it. But it has extensions in Chrome. It has extensions in, I mean, it even works with iOS. Like, you can even set up 1Password as your default manager instead of iOS Keychain, which I don't use, because I just feel like Keychains is nice. And yeah, it stores your password, but like, I just like the features of 1Password better. And I can also share it. Like, I have a, so my wife and I share logins for like everything, you know, from, you know, streaming services and stuff like that. And then she gets access to all of those too. You know, and our, like our Dyson account, our Good to Go Pass, all those type of things, you know, she has access to all of those via our shared vault, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's interesting. Yeah. And you can sort them by tags too and stuff like that. I've started trying to organize better and stuff like that. And, I mean, I've been using 1Password for years though. Like, I mean, I've got passwords that I don't, websites that don't even exist anymore. So definitely worth checking out. And like I said, I'm not trying to sell everybody on 1Password. I'm just saying using a password manager secures your data a little more. So, one of the things I also wanted to talk about is ransomware. Because I know that that's becoming a more serious threat. Has anybody ever been caught ransomware?
I haven't been compromised by it, and I haven't been associated, I think, with any institutions that have been compromised by it, at least not directly.
My family has. My mom's husband downloaded some really shady shit.
Was it from the dark web?
No, I don't think he's that bright. I don't think he could get there.
That's a very funny way to say some.
No.
I'm just saying, because a lot of people think like you can go to the dark web, you can download like free programs and stuff like that and free music. Like, I'm like,
it's not.
Yeah, true. That's why people go to the dark web for music.
Yeah, it's not like that. Some people, I have to explain, the dark web is not LimeWire and whatever those other
LimeWire is like. The dark web, dude.
There, a company that I work for, I did IT, and I was going through the server, this was when I first started. I was going through the server and all the files that we have, and on the server, deep in the shared folders, there was a WannaCry failed to launch, but it was this close to launching, and it had everything ready to launch, except even like the text file that had the where to send bitcoins to was on there. And
what is a WannaCry?
Oh, WannaCry makes you want to cry. It's basically it is because it still exists, but it's an executable that you would get on your computer, and it would be named something generic, like it would either be like picture dot something, and if you downloaded it, everything on your computer would become encrypted. Everything would encrypt, and your background would change, and it would have a countdown timer saying that you have to pay this many bitcoins to this address, otherwise by the end of that timer it would either double in price or it would threaten to delete everything. And it would hold your files ransom, and you would have to, a lot of people had no choice but to pay the money to get unlock their files, to even possibly get your files back, because of how how it worked.
I have a question, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
What's a circumstance in which you think that it's worth it to just like let your files dissolve or to actually pay to get them back?
Well, if you're in some cases, Grandma Sally and you're about to lose your world famous casserole dinner recipe, then yeah, don't pay the ransom. But if you're a hospital where or a medical center where you actually have patient information that is considered very valuable, then a lot of hospitals actually had to pay the ransom. A lot of them did.
And a lot of times it affects backups too. So like, mm-hmm. you know, you can't take down your network and then restore from a backup because the backup is sometimes encrypted as well. And I'm not really familiar with the WannaCry one. I know that some other places, you know, have tried to say, well, we can't even restore from backup. It's like we have to start from scratch, you know, because you can't restore from a backup because the backup's already. So, yeah, definitely something. So the interesting headline from this year, I think, was the pipeline that was hacked, and they wanted Bitcoin, and they actually paid. They actually paid the Bitcoin. To do it because, again, I think their backups were compromised. And so there was no way to do it without being offline for days and possibly months to do it. I think the FBI and in the Department of Justice like said, you know, don't do it because you don't want to compromise with it. But they ended up sending the money via Bitcoin to it. And then I think it was like a couple months. Like a meat processing plant got hijacked too by ransomware. And again, I think the same thing. I think they ended up paying because that was like the only course of it. So, I mean, ransom is very serious on what you do. If you're a big corporation like a hospital, like Tim said.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of Marcus Hutchins? Is that name?
No.
So... Marcus Hutchins is he's also known on Twitter as what's his name? It's Malware Tech on Twitter. So there's a great video. I'll link it. But WannaCry pretty much started in May of 2017. That was when it was first discovered. Its originality, I believe it came from the CIA as something. It was leaked from there. They were using it for something, and it got leaked out there and got held by hackers, and they were able to make WannaCry. And WannaCry started going after all sorts of different computers. Everyone was getting hit with WannaCry, and then... Marcus, he was looking at it. He was working at the time, was working for a malware company that was going against malware. And when he was looking into it, he started to realize after looking, he infected it onto a virtual machine and was noticing it was pinging a domain. And he looked up and he noticed the domain was not owned by anyone. So... he went and bought the domain and loaded it onto a server, and all these people sending Bitcoin started hitting him. And he was able to put a stop pretty much to WannaCry for pretty much the big attacks. It's been fixed. Most of it has been fixed. So if you do install WannaCry and you do pay the Bitcoin, it will go to the hackers. But at the time, this was stopping so many companies from getting hit or paying the ransom and saving them. So he pretty much became a hero overnight because he was able to stop WannaCry.
Just by being like, oh, that website is known. I guess I'll go and buy that.
I mean, it was a little bit, I believe it was a little bit more complicated than that, but pretty much that was what he did. And it's a fascinating story. I'll link the video. It's a really good video about it.
And apparently he gets arrested by the FBI as a result of this.
There's a big backstory. He's used to do hacking when he was in like middle school. Oh. And I believe they caught on to him when he was like, once they found out who he was, he got in trouble in Vegas and got arrested. He's clean now. He got out of prison. So he's all.
Oh, that's, he actually went to prison. Yeah. I'll definitely send the link for that, 'cause I'm curious what the heck happened to this guy.
Me too.
Yeah.
So, does anybody use virus protection on their?
I use it on my clients' computers. ESCT. I don't use it on my own personal computer because I've just, after years of using Windows and not being dumb, I kind of feel like with good judgment, you don't need security software, but. When it comes to a business, I decided we bought a license for it, and it has paid for itself a lot. It's been a great investment for the company.
I'm kind of the same way, Tim. I use Windows Defender or whatever it's called now.
It works great.
It's been good for me. It gets enough updates. I always assume that the only person that would hack my computer is Microsoft itself, and they'll break it for some reason. Or Comcast, exactly. Those major companies are doing a better job than any random malware has done on my computer.
So I'll tell you, I don't use a virus program on Mac either. I guess it's kind of like a, I don't know, it's kind of up in the air whether you need one or not on Mac, because iOS security or macOS security is pretty tight as it is. I will say that my hard drive did. On there, so that's the only thing that I do when I get a new Mac or whatever is I go in and encrypt a drive through Apple, which doesn't come out of the box, so you have to reformat everything and start over with it, but it is an option there, and that is one thing that I do, so that if anybody were to take out my SSD drive, they wouldn't be able to access it even if they tried. But yeah, do you use one, Roy, at all?
No, I mean, I guess the closest thing I would have is the malware protection that's on the Clean My App or Clean My Mac.
Yeah, I will say I do have Clean My Mac on my MacBook. I don't have it yet on my Mini, but yeah, I do have it on my Mac. So,
would literally be the closest.
Yeah, Joe, do you use anything?
For what exactly?
Virus protection at all?
Nope. I just use password protection, and I'm very careful about what I download.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's for most people, but, you know.
I'd say it's for most people. I would say it's for most, like, tech.
For most people, most tech people, that's what I was giving.
Most people, they get it.
For, like, clients.
I guess.
For, like, clients, where you have lots of businesses and stuff like that, you know, then, yeah, you definitely want to have some type of protection on there, whether it's McAfee or Norton LifeLock, I think it's called. So
I do think VPNs are very valuable though, especially for people in my industry, which work in broadcasting and tech. Having a VPN whenever you're doing something you're like not sure of, if you're someone that's not me who's downloading a torrent, like you probably want to have a VPN just because it's a safe thing. It's a very nice thing to have.
Yeah, and I will say, like, I have, like, on my MacBook I have a subscription to, I forget what it's called, but I have a subscription to Surfshark, and that's amazing. Like, I use that wherever I go outside of the house. So
I love having my VPN on my phone too.
Because you never know, like, so and with Surfshark too, it recognizes when I'm home, so it doesn't need to set up on my home network, because, you know, I have strong security at home. on my router and everything, that I don't use the out of the box settings thing or the Comcast router. Like, but yeah, Comcast, so anyway,
fine enough.
Yeah, they are. So,
how do you feel about that, Matt Carter?
Yeah.
What? That Comcast is harvesting probably an incredible amount of data?
Huh. They probably knew that you were applying for a new apartment because you logged on to the apartment website and did it. So they were like, oh, this guy's moving. He applied for an apartment. We better call him. That's probably how they found out.
I can't.
Honestly, probably not wrong.
No, I don't think so at all. Like, they probably have advertising packages. They collect what people do on the internet. They collect what people watch, and then they sell random advertisements or packages of people's profiles to Google or whoever the hell else. I hope that Elon Musk makes Starlink a thing, and I hope that I can at least get away from these. Xfinity in particular, I pretty much only hate Xfinity.
Does anybody use a DSN provider?
What is that?
One rather than basically you change. I'll have to find a YouTube video, but you can change your DSN settings on your router to automatically switch. I use Google's DSN servers. I can't remember what their DSN servers are.
So this you're talking about setting your home IP address.
Yeah,
to something, but also switching it up.
Yeah, so you basically use it. So they have so their DSN server, their IP server is 8.8.8.8, so 4 8s. And you can basically use theirs so that your internet provider essentially can't see your data.
Interesting.
Because your internet provider can see everything that flows through there, whether you're using their router. So I use Google's DNS server, and it's a public free server that you can use, whether Google tracks you or not. So, but your speeds can change sometimes too, because your provider will know that you're not using their speed, so they can sometimes lag you down and stuff like that.
A speed punishment for not giving them what they want.
Yeah, but it's definitely a way to keep the internet providers and ISPs out of your home if you care to do that. So there's lots of videos on YouTube on it. There's lots of public DNS servers too that you can do. You can even use NordVPN as a DSN server and filter it through your router so that all of your stuff. Your traffic is done through there. So definitely look into those. But again, I use the free one from Google. So,
well, any more comments on breaches, privacy, VPNs or DNSs? Anything else, guys?
I don't think so.
If you're worried about privacy, just get a VPN. They're pretty cheap.
They are.
I think I spent like $60 for a 3-year program. So.
Oh, that's good.
And do you use NordVPN or you have something?
Yeah, I use Nord. Yeah. And I got some supplementary shit for it, but.
And Surfshark is a good one too.
We're not sponsored by any of these, by the way.
Yeah, not so sponsored.
Literally, just pick the one that has the best deal, unless NordVPN wants to give us a good deal.
But do your research on them. Don't go to some like knockoff one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't buy a VPN that's based in the United States. That's a really bad idea.
Just remember that free VPNs too make money off of yours as well. So paying for a VPN, you get better security, I feel. So
don't use Uncle Phil's VPN that he sells on Craigslist. It's not reliable.
It's not reliable and it's not safe.
And don't pay for it with Bitcoin if somebody emails you saying, I've got a great deal on DSN or VPN service.
Well, pay for the VPN and we'll give you back your Bitcoin plus double.
Cringe. Yeah. This is also like kind of like a weird to explain take without sounding very awkward, but if you understand the the institutions in the country that you're buying the VPN, then you can trust it a lot more. So
yeah,
check out where you're buying the VPN from, and make sure that they're not going to just turn their back on you frame one.
Yep. Check to, I guess treaty rights is usually, and
yes,
whether they have extradition. If they have extradition to the US, then US can usually gain access to that information. Again, not telling anybody to do anything bad on VPNs, but you know, your data goes over there. So
if you are getting a VPN for like privacy, then you just want to make sure that you get privacy. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You're probably not doing anything bad, and we don't condone that, like by any means. Yeah. But just,
but
you know, make sure the VPN
is cool. You want
your data
to be private. Yeah, you want your data to be private. So.
Absolutely.
Well, awesome, guys. Good information. Thank you very much, and we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the GooplyCast, and a big thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast. Look for our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show, and you can join in, and also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening, whether here on Earth or in outer space. We'll catch you next time on the GooplyCast.
Thanks for listening to the GooplyCast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the GooplyCast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.